Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Father, thank you so much for blessing us and anointing us today to share this word that's very important to your people. And will benefit them greatly if they will listen. And Father, thank you so much for your uncommon blessings towards us, especially since the eighth day, Lord. They've been wonderful. Amen. Okay, we're going to continue with Ministering Angels through UBM number 6. And the first thing we're going to share is the parting statement from the angel Baruch in 8:27-22. It's not that he's going anywhere, but his speaking to us will come to an end. The angel Baruch said, quote, "Our time of bringing these messages to the people of UBM has come to a close. The purposes for which these have been brought forth has been accomplished, and a great move of God has been activated and set in motion. Many events will proceed rapidly from this time forward." Well, as we have been seeing, miracles have been happening since the eighth day. We'll talk about that later. He went on to say, "We are not to be used for continual questioning daily. Your Lord and Savior Jesus desires that you all go to Him in personal relationship for all your questions and desires. He will give you wisdom and discernment for everything that pertains to you and the ministry. You are His beloved bride, and He desires intimacy of relationship and to be pursued in this manner. He is not to be used for information purposes only, although He will freely give to you the guidance and discernment for His people on a need-to-know basis as the situations arise. Continue on in sacrificial, meager living and in supplying the needs of your brethren, for this is the daily will of your Father. The true religion and undefiled before our God is to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction." Well, and I will say that there are many spiritual fatherless and widows among our elect brethren, too. They need our charity and guidance. Amen. James 1:27, Baruch goes on to say, "Pure religion and undefiled before our God and Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unspotted from the world." Okay, this is about a warning of the raid that was coming against the evangelist missionaries. And this was given to Vanessa Weeks on 8:20-22. Let me say this, that without sharing too much and giving knowledge to the enemy, we can say that Vanessa's dream revealed a planned attack by the Catholics on the Christian missionaries. The founding father of the missionaries said that the description that Vanessa gave in her dream was of the mission building that was attacked. So it was dead on. It was confirmed. And we have to remember that both of these entities must remain underground or risk destruction by the Muslim authorities in the region. Yes, so the Catholics and the Christians are underground, and whatever they do, they cannot draw too much attention to themselves, right? So the Catholics and the Coptics, of course, consider themselves the underground authority, so they take authority over everybody else. They're like the Pharisees of old and like our faction in that they murder Christians. The Christians in the dream had to hide some important things to get the gospel out. And at this point, these men and I knew that they were in danger of being discovered. The last time they persecuted and killed our missionaries, it resulted in many Catholics realizing the true nature of their religion and turning to our missionaries and God. That's what happens. And this time it will have the same result. This is the history of Christianity. When they are persecuted by the apostates, it is the history. History does repeat. Go ahead. This is a word concerning a great teacher and God's future plans for the Middle East missionaries. And this was 8:23-22 by David. Saints, please pray for the missionaries. Some were beaten, some died, but most escaped. The Catholics killed 7 missionaries and injured 20. And I asked, what has happened to the great teacher? And Baruch said, he has been taken and will be martyred for Christ's namesake. So Eve said, I had a vision of him kneeling in a dark place with a stained, dirty shirt. He had a cloth, light-colored sack over his head, and there were 2 captors standing over him with their hands on his shoulders, and I understood that they were going to kill him. So I asked, Lord, won't you free him and bring him back to us? We need his expertise. And Father said, this is my will for him. I am doing a work in this situation that you do not understand right now. I have others that I'm raising up to take his place. So this missionary was excellent to lay this foundation to teach the missionaries how to free the people from their religious bondages. And this anointing will change now so that the trainees are equipped to escape notice by not being so dependent upon their mother church. God is going to fill them with his spirit, which will make them unpredictable by lost religious people. John 3:8 says, the wind bloweth where it will, and thou hearest the voice thereof, but knowest not whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Amen. And this is why this unpredictability caused God's people to escape many of their enemies. And this outpouring of the Spirit on them is going to do this for them. And Father went on to say, but things will be changing rapidly over there for the missionaries. From this point forward, as the battle intensifies in the spirit realm, the environment of relative stability is under assault, and the way of the missionaries must change and adjust with it. It will no longer be conducive to organized establishments. Well, that was much like the Christians in Jesus' day. They were scattered by persecution, and the gospel spread further. They really wanted to stay and fellowship with the brethren, but the Lord said no, and then he scattered them, and the gospel went out in power. So he goes on to say, tell them to commit the gospel to their hearts. There is a time coming when they will not be able to distribute the materials. They will need to have the word down in their hearts and in their minds. The gospel will be shared by word of mouth as it was in the first century church. Well, also we were told by the angel Baruch that our books would be spread supernaturally by the angels, as we have seen happen on a limited scale before. Yes, even printing their own books, those angels, and putting them places. And, of course, we were told by the angel, too, that we could pray that today and it would go. It would happen. So we have. We have prayed, Lord, send the books out into places where they need to go, to the people where they need to go. And, of course, these aren't printed by man, but they are made by the angels. So, he goes on to say, they too are heading out into their wilderness to worship me. They must eventually leave the establishments of Egypt behind. Their flames will be scattered once again in order for the sparks of revival to spread even further as I had commanded them in the beginning. They must not hide in fear or huddle together, or they will suffer still greater losses. They must go out in the wilderness with praises and thanksgivings and declare the victory over the enemies. Amen. They already have the victory in the spirit realm. The angels told us that. And this is how you bring it down to earth. You know, you declare it. You decree it. Amen. When they begin to do this with all their heart, mind, and strength, lifting up praises to me, then I will cause a mighty shift to happen in the spirit realm, and things will begin to turn in their favor. And this is how they will take the land. This will begin the greatest revival over there, just as it is beginning here with UBM. I am placing both on the same timeline. Well, they are UBM, just as anyone here are UBM. Amen. Tell them to be strong and keep courage. I am with them, no matter how things appear. They must continue to trust in me and my perfect plans and not take confidence in their own plans. Amen. All right, this is, we called it, you must be filled with the Holy Spirit, 8:26-22. I asked Shemuel, what about the three people that disappeared? Because there were three that were missing. Eve said that the visions I had are of the great teacher, north and east of the city, under capture and about to be killed. Then I saw that two of the missing are in hiding. And then Shemuel added, the other has been captured too. And David asked, will you please send an angel to save them? And Shemuel said, the two in hiding will be restored. The other will be martyred as well. God knows. It's his plan, you know. And he works all things as counsel of his own will. And I asked, Shemuel, will you send angels to administer the gift of seeing and hearing angels to our blessed missionaries? And Shemuel said, the Holy Spirit will be imparted to them as they press into God and turn away from their works. This is part of their Father's plan for them. Then they will have increasing faith and power with God. They have been too busy with self-efforts and works. They need to grow in wisdom and in the knowledge of the Lord. They have been methodizing the spread of the gospel, which is a normal thing when all of these people are relatively new converts. And so that's the first thing you do is you start methodizing the gospel. So God wants to take this out of them. This is why they have no power or protection. And Eve said, I understood that this is why it was so important for them to go out and praise and worship in the wilderness. This was to be a turning point for them in having victories over their enemies. But the enemy confused the translation of the angel's message to them. And when they receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit, they will grow quickly and walk in the Spirit and not after the mind of the flesh. Amen, amen. Everybody's done it. I mean, went door to door passing out tracts and things like that, you know, and not necessarily following the Spirit, but just, you know, Romans Road, some people call it, you know. I said to the founding father of the missionaries, I'm going to call him, Father wants to fill you all with his Spirit so you can hear from him and follow his directions. This should be a number one priority rather than evangelizing. We are very sorry for your hardships. Tell everyone to forgive everyone, even the Catholics, from the heart, as Jesus said, so that a curse does not come upon you. Jesus said that if we do not forgive from the heart, the Father will turn us over to the tormenting demons, and everyone must forgive for these people who are for these people who are controlled by Satan, and the victims too. So every evangelist should be filled with the Holy Spirit, I told him. Read the book of Acts, where they were filled with the Spirit and spoke in other tongues. And when you are praising God, it's the best time to ask for this gift. The Holy Spirit will give power, faith, wisdom, and direction, leading to protection. The angels will protect you, so command them to do so using your faith. Amen. Okay, here's we call this the tremendous need in the Middle East, a missionary leader's witness. And this was on 8/27/22, and he's witnessing what happened there, you know, an attack from the wicked. I'm so sorry, but I wanted to explain to you what the situation was like with some missionaries and some believers. First, the situation was very sad because the missionaries died and others were injured. And also the disappearance of our great teacher, that's not his name, but we're putting that in there because we don't want to identify him, who is considered the first professor in a major city and the elder brother of all, and also was the father of those who consider him a father. He trained more than 600 missionaries. He was merciful, kind, forbearing, and often fasting, praying, and praying. Even if he doesn't have boots and clothes, he walked barefoot. All he had were two suits. He washed one and put on the other. They're not talking about suits either. He used to give his ration of food to the homeless and all he owned. His feet were soaked with blood every day from walking. He was kind to the sick and checking on widows and loved kids. We have lost a teacher dear to everyone's hearts. On the same day, instructions came to us to leave the city. Then we go walking for more than 4 hours on foot and under rainwater, and we have patients. They bleed until they die, and we have injured. And we stayed days in the rain eating leaves, but the cold was very cold, and praying and praising. Eating leaves is something they have done to just stay alive. In many cases, their whole economy is wrecked over there, and so on. And money and food is very expensive. So during these moments, the Catholics appeared, and they say that the church and the Pope have cursed us. They were able to deceive the new believers, or some of the new believers anyway. The mood was so tense among some missionaries that some of them seemed to doubt. Even another important leader said instructions to him to succeed and wait in the wilderness. So this important leader, in every accident we are exposed to, comes and lifts the spirits of the injured. You'll notice the wording is a little different, and translation is a problem, you know, going back and forth, you know, from English to Arabic. But this time he only read the Psalms without uttering a word. Well, we shared part of this to let their brothers and sisters here know that they need our prayers and help. They have witnessed that the missionaries are many times barefooted, having worn out their shoes from walking many miles, and often only eat one meal a day, and often eat leaves for a meal. The founding father of the missionaries sold his car recently, and of course it's very important for him to have a car to be able to get around to visit the different missions and so on and so forth. And he sold it to continue the spread of the gospel when the ministry ran out of money to send over to them. And as we saw, Jesus preached equality so that everyone's needs are met. The needs have grown far beyond our normal ministry income, so we have asked for your help, and we have described only one city here, in which there are 18,000 converts in this large city asking for Bibles and books. And they are, of course, printing them as fast as they can. Food is very scarce. There are three other missions that the missionaries go out from in the area, the large area. Actually, they're spilling over the edges of their country, right? James 2:15 through 17 says, "If a brother or sister be naked and in lack of daily food, and one of you say unto them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, and yet you give them not the things needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so, faith, if it have not works, is dead in itself." So anyway, I responded to the missionary leader's witness, 8:27-22. I said, "My love to you all. It appears that the original message from the angels we sent was somewhat mistranslated. We tried to explain it several times, but were not capable. Also, I never knew there were so many Arabic dialects until yesterday. We also obeyed the original messages, and then we were told it could go to the larger ministry, larger UBM ministry. So we sent it to them, who started later than we did and ended later on their eighth day. The larger ministry is around the world, so they did it wherever they were. Many miraculous blessings fell on the people." And we're going to share these probably in our next broadcast, what wonderful miracles have been happening, creative miracles. "According to the message, you were to fast from the fleshly things for 7 days, and then on the eighth go to worship to destroy the works of the enemy, as in Psalm 149, and then return home." And, of course, Psalm 149 teaches just that, you know, that through the worship, the enemy was destroyed. "Yes, the great leader was a Jesus man of great stature," speaking of the great leader we were talking about before. "We mourn him. He has raised up many who will walk in his steps. The Lord will see to it. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. He is with his Lord. Martyrs have a great reward. The Lord works all things after the counsel of his own will. And all of the early apostles were martyred, and they were the most valuable people to the kingdom." Sometimes you think somebody's too valuable to let go, you know, like I mentioned of this great man, you know. But no, it's not true. There's anointings coming that other people have giftings in, and so on and so forth. So the Lord said he does not make mistakes. Yes, he told us that. And that he would raise up others to take their place. We too have had people die by the hands of these kind of factious people. They have attempted to kill me several times and failed by God's grace. The angels told me of my future crucifixion at their hands. It will be a relief. But I believe that they spoke of spiritual crucifixion. Since 2011, many Judases have come against me to crucify my flesh and the local ministry. Let me say this. The angels told us that there was a time for deaths among them. And the time I already knew, because when Jesus was crucified, Judas died. Yes. Well, I went on to say, "The Catholics are never right. No one who hates his brother has eternal life, says the Lord. Were the Pharisees right because they killed the Lord and his disciples? Still, we must forgive them from the heart or lose the kingdom. And we must forgive everyone or the Father turns us over to the tormenting demons, Matthew 18:34-35. Our factious people use witchcraft to confuse us and send chaos. I have watched these demons snatch my emails in front of my face, and I commanded them to bring them back, and they did, because they are under our authority. And I said this to show how the enemy can confuse instructions by their witchcraft. And this is why every individual missionary must be filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. They are capable of doing physical things and murder, and we have seen this. We never knew the whole story on the ground. It's very sad and grieving. I started to only send English so that you could translate to your own dialect. This is still not the best. Emails leave much room for misunderstanding. Please let everyone know that we have your best interests at heart. We would never willfully do anything to harm any of you. Please forgive us for any failure on our part. Please use the money that we sent today to feed the people and buy shoes. We will send more as we are able. I have many times run completely out of my own money and the ministry's too. Yeah. But God is faithful. He knows what He's doing. I pray all of the brethren there will be filled with the Holy Spirit and gifts of word of knowledge and prophecy and word of wisdom, healing, miracles, etc. I might add dreams, right? We are now writing a small book on receiving the Holy Spirit so we can translate it into Arabic. When we finish, can we send it to you to translate it? The book of Acts shows us that they were commanded to have the Holy Spirit before they could go forth to evangelize. And this gives an evangelistic missionary ministry the best direction, power, and warning of things to come to escape many enemies. Father, be with you all in Jesus' name. Your servant, David. Okay, we call this money to get the gospel out and provide for God's people. David asked the angels, can you tell me about how the money will come? Baruch said, we do not have details of all the ways your father will send it, but we can tell you that men will heap it into your bosom. Well, let me say, this is because our ministry has given all to get the gospel out freely. Luke 6:38 speaks of this statement. He gave, give and it will be given unto you, good measures, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall they give into your bosom. For with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. So what you sow, you reap, right? David said, tell us what the saints need to hear at this time. And Baruch said, rejoice, for you are now entering into a great time of grace and power that the Father is pouring out upon the first fruits. Keep emptying yourselves, overcome unbelief, and ask your Father to fill you more and more with His faith. Amen. Father, we ask that in the name of Jesus, that you will fill us all mightily with your faith. Then Baruch said, behold, your king is coming. Continue on in living meagerly before the Lord after your fast. A great outpouring is coming and is already upon you. Well, we know that the Lord coming in the man-child is the beginning of the greatest revival. And, of course, that's after the crucifixion, okay, of the man-child. In the days to come, you will see many more miracles, not only confirming all that has been spoken to you, but also the ministry of UBM. Word will spread exponentially as these things start to take place, and men will be so inspired and impressed with the Lord in your midst that they will bestow their gifts of wealth and their assets upon the ministry. And we know, of course, that this is to serve others by spreading the gospel and meeting their needs. The most important thing out there is for people to be saved and begin this discipleship, right? So this next revelation, we called it a message from our Father given through the angel over UBM, Baruch, for those in local and larger UBM. August 22nd, 2022. And this was from myself. Father is preparing all in UBM to be provided for in the coming days of scarcity. Acts 2:44-45. This has to include those who are on the front line sacrificing their lives to get the gospel out. And what Baruch commanded in part 5 of this series that we're in, from the Lord, is exactly what the scriptures already tell us to do. Go and read it again, part 5. And this is what I have been living and teaching for many years. And I have taught that this was coming, this revival was coming because of this. The sacrifices that the saints gave to bring equality in Acts paved the way for a great revival, which the angels have stated is about to be poured out again. Baruch said, "Our great God is bringing back the first century Book of Acts, church operations." Amen. And we look forward to it. And we've been proclaiming that this was coming too for many, many years. And we are actually watching it happen. Yes. Ecclesiastes 1:9 says, "That which hath been is that which shall be, and that which hath been done is that which shall be done. There's no new thing under the sun." Everyone who has partaken in the blessings, Baruch said, that UBM has bestowed upon their lives are commanded to sell all things of value that do not pertain to life and sustenance. All things that were purchased or obtained for the purposes of fulfilling the wants and desires of the flesh, and to contribute any excess of monies. What is excess? Well, it's anything over and above what you need to pay off debts and bills and daily needs for your business or life, right? Because you can live by faith, God will continue to supply your needs as you continue to supply others' needs. And he went on to talk about those hoarding up for retirement, living, or children and children's children, or that have been clung to as a safety net for a crutch so as to avoid a true walk of faith in the daily provisions of your Father. Everyone who has power over their own belongings and monies will now be responsible to shoulder the burden with UBM and her support. Well, Baruch said by the Spirit of God that I would be crucified for teaching this doctrine of equality, even though I have preached this for almost 50 years. One person came to me to say that this was a deception of the devil. Of course, he could have had an ulterior motive since he was not obeying God's word in this. And Jesus, who is the very word of God, was accused of doing his works by the devil, which he said was blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. He said a blasphemy against him would be forgiven, but a blasphemy against the Holy Spirit would not be forgiven. So attributing the works of the Spirit to the devil is blasphemy, which Jesus said would not be forgiven. Apostates today say very dangerously that tongues are of the devil, when it's clearly called a gift of the Holy Spirit in the Word, and a door to all the supernatural gifts. Yes, people who speak in tongues get the rest of the gifts. People who don't usually don't get the rest of the gifts. So these apostates crucify the obedient. So since the Word is our standard for relationships to others, let us look more carefully at it to see what is apostasy. James 2:15-17. If a brother or sister be naked or in lack of daily food, as we just read a few minutes ago, and one of you say unto them, go in peace, be ye warmed and filled, and yet you give them not the things needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so, faith, if it have not works, is dead in itself. So, do you have faith that God will supply your every need, as he says in Philippians 4:19? Or are you trusting in your money? And when you are free from this idol, you will be able to freely give to every need out of your abundance. Exodus 16:17-21. And the children of Israel did so, and gathered some more and some less. And when they measured it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over. Look at that. He that gathered much had nothing over. No excess. So the rich need to be ready to distribute as they were commanded, right? And he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. So here we see that going into the wilderness, as we are doing, involves everyone's needs met with equality. And this is the way we're going to make it through it. You understand? And Moses said unto them, let no man leave of it until the morning. What was he saying? Don't save or store up. Give. 20. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left of it until the morning, and it bred worms, and became foul. And Moses was wroth with them. So many saved up food for Y2K, only to find that it was all ruined. And I told them that ahead of time, and it came to pass. It was ruined. But this is true of anything, including money. You know, they had all things in common in the early church. There's no use in you having a lawnmower, your neighbor having a lawnmower, the next guy having. Why don't you just all use the same lawnmower so you can get by cheaper that way and you can help people in need? And they gathered it morning by morning, every man according to his eating. So we see that their savings were lost, as Jesus also said would happen to those who saved instead of sowed. Matthew 6:19-21, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust consume, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth consume, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where thy treasure is, there will thy heart be also. So, how do we lay up treasures in heaven? Obviously, that bank is not going to be robbed. And how do we lay up treasures in heaven for our future needs in the wilderness? Matthew 19:21 says, Jesus said unto them, if thou wouldest be perfect, go sell that which thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come follow me. And Jesus also said in Luke 14:33, so therefore, whosoever he be of you that renounceth not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. There are not many disciples compared to what we loosely call Christians out there. All right. And 2 Corinthians 8:9-15 says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. So he gave of everything. I mean, he gave up everything to go and do the Father's will. Verse 10, and herein I give my judgment, for this is expedient for you. In other words, to follow in his steps. So this is what we are called to do. You understand? This is not a false doctrine. We're seeing it very plainly here. For I say not this, that others may be eased and ye distressed, but by equality, your abundance being a supply at this present time for their want, that their abundance also may become a supply for your want, that there may be equality. God wants equality. He wants everybody's needs met. As it is written, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. That's God's plan. And 2 Corinthians 9, 6-11 says, but this I say, he that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. So did you know that we can only reap what we sow? People want a rich reward when the Lord returns in his man-child, but they don't want to sow so that they can reap what they want. Verse 7 goes on to say, let each man do according as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Now, for this cheerful giver, look at the powerful promises for seeking this equality. Verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound unto you. Do you need that going into the wilderness or what? All grace abound unto you, that you, having always all sufficiency in everything. Oh my gosh, that's one of those huge promises. Always, all sufficiency in everything, may abound unto every good work. As it is written, he that hath scattered abroad, he hath given to the poor. His righteousness abideth forever. Well, notice that the bride is righteous in this regard. Okay, they are disciples, you see. And he that supplieth seed to the sower, and in other words, it's, notice, he gives seed to the sower, and not to keep, and bread for food shall supply and multiply your seed for sowing, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. So we should be just like an open pipeline, leading out there to God's people, meeting all their needs, and it's going to be coming from behind us too. It's coming, you see. Notice that the reaping is not for keeping, but sowing again. Ye being enriched in everything unto all liberality. In other words, giving. So he wants to give you more to give because you're storing up your treasures in heaven. He wants you to have a rich reward in the kingdom forever. Not this little puny thing that we're living on, this ball of mud right now, right? So, ye being enriched in everything unto all liberality, which worketh through us thanksgiving to God. So since we started with sacrificially giving our all, monetarily, and living meagerly, and offering up the sacrifice of our lips in praise and worship, our faith has been increased to believe for what we pray and ask for and decree. We have seen creative miracles of things that were broken, fixed, and healings, which we will report in the next broadcast, all these things. You see, when you give of what you've got and you've got less, you need less because the curse is less involved in your life. That's the facts. Years ago, I said, denying the word, false prophecy, jerking and twitching, barking like dogs, mooing like cows, clucking like chickens, and railing at those who don't, was demon possession, because it made a foolish beast out of the Christians, and because I had cast some of these demons out before, so I recognized them, right? We once had a sister who had perfect dreams, and many were on our website. But when she fell into this nonsense that we call the false revival or false prophetic movement, we removed all of her good dreams from our site. Why would we do that? Well, because we did not want anyone to go to her and get the same disease. Yes, you just have to be careful for other people. And even though we thought Anna Roundtree's dream was good and confirmed by Marie's dream, we discovered that she eventually fell into the false revival or false prophetic movement with Bob Jones that I just spoke about. It's been our custom that when this has happened in the past to remove their materials from our website and any links so that no one is damaged by these spirits. So we removed it from this series. Don't get me wrong. Anybody can have a false prophetic word when it's already in their mind or they are attacked by evil spirits to discredit them or their message. In the New Testament, by the way, we're commanded in Corinthians not to judge the person but the prophecy. What is the spirit behind the prophecy, right? Paul said we prophesy in part, meaning it's part us and part God. 1 Corinthians 13:10 says, but when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. Praise the Lord. The Lord recently told us that it is a learning process to discern truth in prophecies. But when a person is constantly in gross error according to the word and don't care, it's a demon possession. Okay? So let's get back to Baruch here. This is how it is commanded to be among you from this day forward. Many more will be joining themselves to you in the coming days, and they will need to see this example and way of life from you all. A book of records has now been opened in heaven for the last century. Book of Acts Church. Do you want to be the Book of Acts Church? As this message has been brought forth to all in UBM, your free will offerings and acts of obedience, as well as any disobediences and the hardening of hearts at the promptings of the Holy Spirit, will now be recorded and witnessed. All who humble themselves to this message from our God and great King will be greatly rewarded in this life and in the life to come. But those who allow demons of selfishness, greed, fear, and fear of man to dictate their choices in this matter will lose everything in the times just ahead. God will destroy those idols of money and things and will not allow them to remain to fulfill the purpose for which they were stored up. In other words, he's not going to let your stored up money save you. It will be plundered, as he said. But the most tragic consequence of disobedience to this command will be much loss of the eternal rewards that have been prepared for them in heaven. And so he said, make for yourselves purses that wax not old, to the glory of our God and for the corporate benefit of the body of Christ. Ecclesiastes 5:11-14 says, when goods increase, they are increased that eat them. What does this mean? So if someone is overindulging or storing up, others are doing without. That's what God says. When goods increase, they are increased that eat them. And what advantage is there to the owner thereof, save the beholding of them with his eyes? There's a grievous evil which I have seen under the sun, namely, riches kept by the owner thereof to his hurt, and those riches perish by evil adventure. And if he hath begotten a son, there's nothing in his hand. So there are people that store up because they think they're going to, you know, bless their children in the hereafter, but they don't know that. Nope, the Lord says differently. All will get into the same boat, Baruch said, and be left out in the cold of the winter of judgments that are coming upon the economies and the peoples of the world. Okay. This we called The Harvest is Ripe for the Greatest Revival. 8:29:22. We already distribute our books in Northern Africa, and a great revival is taking place there as a result. And we are already distributing books in the east of South Africa because of the factious attacking the people who confess us. I asked, is it time for us to distribute our books in the west of South Africa? So Eve said, I asked the Lord Jesus to speak to us about this, and he said, my harvest is ripe for the picking in South Africa. You may glean freely without fear of the enemy as long as you continue in faith and sacrificial praise and worship, lifting me up and glorifying my name. Your defenses will remain impenetrable as my messengers have told you, the angels. The time for hiding is over. I am revealing my glorious bride for all to behold. And he uses the word I am. I am moving you into a renewed time of great grace in spreading my gospel far and wide for the greatest revival ever witnessed. Eve said, I understood that pockets of persecution will always arise, but the Lord will bring their efforts to naught. No matter what they do or say, it will result in a greater glorification of the bride and the name of Jesus moving forward, and the truth of the gospel will spread all the more. John 16:33 says, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So, he says, remain faithful to all my commands that my messengers have brought to you, and your enemies will remain scattered, subdued, and under your feet. Fear not, my bride, for I am with you. I asked for a word by faith at random for this word from the Lord, and my finger was on the words he commanded in Daniel 3:20. We're going to give a context 20-25. And he commanded certain mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their hosen, their tunics, their mantles, and their garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Those men who want to do God's people evil, it slew them. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the fiery, burning fiery furnace. And, of course, because they confessed their faith in God, he delivered them and destroyed their enemies. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste. He spake and he said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the aspect of the fourth is like a son of the gods. Well, it was the same story with Daniel in the lion's den, wasn't it? He was spared because of his confession and his faith and his faithfulness to God, and the enemies were destroyed. And so it will be. Isn't God awesome? This revival is coming. We're watching it now. We're seeing more and more people stepping out and exercising their faith and seeing miracles. Like I said, even creative miracles and healings, etc. And I think it's going to continue to grow, just as they said. As we do what we're told to do, as we meet others' needs, God will meet our needs. He will multiply our seed for sowing, for sowing, for sowing. If he's multiplied your seed, sow it. You will reap bountifully. You can't lose. You can't outgive God. It's a fact. Okay. Oh, Father, we love you. We praise you. We thank you for working this in the heart. You impressed me today to repeat some things because you just know that some people passed right on by and didn't do what was good for them, much less anybody else. So thank you, Father, for doing that, Lord, and working it in the heart of your people. Lord, this is not going to any personal gratification. I don't get any money from the ministry. And it's going to the people who need it. Thank you, Father, for your awesome grace, your mercy towards us, working in us to willing to do of your good pleasure. Thank you, Father, for doing that. Grant us repentance from anything that's holding us back from walking in the Spirit, walking in faith and trust and faith in you. Thank you, Lord, for your deliverances for us. Lord, people are seeing great breakthroughs in the spirit realm for them with things that have been held on for a long time. They're receiving great breakthroughs, and we're just loving it. Thank you, Father, for your goodness to us in Jesus' name. All right. Good night, saints.